Okay, good afternoon. The council will return to order. Will you please call the roll, Carla?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Okay, item 344, please.
Appeal of David Venadia and Gwen Seymour against the noise variance granted to Anderson Construction for the Block 17 construction site located at 1315 Northwest 11th Avenue.
Okay, welcome everyone. We'll start with the staff report. And we'll follow the usual hearing procedure in which we have a staff report, any guidance from our city attorney, the appellant, supporters of the appellant, opponent of the appeal, and supporters of the opposition to the appeal, rebuttal and discussion and decision. So with that, Mr. Van Orden, take it away.
Members of the city council, I'm Paul Van Orden, the city's noise control officer within the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Members of city council, we're here today to review an appeal of a construction noise variance for Anderson Construction for noise variance number 355-862201. This particular project related to four dates in the variance for pouring concrete starting as early as 5 a.m. on the project that's commonly known as Block 17. The project is bordered by Northwest 11th, 12th Avenues in Northwest Overton and Pettigrove. An additional three dates of variance under the application that we approved included dates for demobilization and erection of a tower crane. With the delivery of equipment to make that operation happen could potentially start as early as 5, but the actual crane erection and demobilization wouldn't start until 6 a.m. In review of the application, the Noise Control Office was directed by the governing body, the Noise Review Board, to first vet all construction projects that might normally be dealt with in-house by staff first through the Noise Review Board for consideration. At the January Noise Review Board meeting, the board members discussed the variance, and the chair, David Sweet, delegated the variance back to staff based on the size of the variance was not one that necessitated the full board to review the variance. And within their review and delegation back to the noise control officer, they did offer specific recommendations. In their discussion, they encouraged the noise control officer to place limitations on weekend work for the early concrete pours and to also limit quieter crane work from happening on Sundays. The noise control office limited the crane pours to Tuesday through Friday unless the contractor could show a clear need with the predicted weather that week to require the pour on a Monday. So our limitations were not just on weekends, but we also placed limitations on a Monday at request during the hearing from the public. And in direct response to the appellant, Mr. Venadia's request for exploring Mondays as an additional date to place limitations. The noise office also reported in our last meeting before council that we would in general be looking to find reasonable limits to place on construction work in the city when we had a situation where there was an aggregation of many construction projects happening, and so that came into account in placing these limitations in this particular area. The noise office previously supported the city council in approving an appeal from the appellant David Venadia on a separate project by Anderson Construction. In this case, we're asking City Council to deny this appeal that's before you today. There are two, but the one that we're talking about first. The noise office has several points to offer as to why the denial is a reasonable denial. The project was first vetted through the Noise Review Board to see if the proposed early morning work was of a significant impact on the community to require a review and a decision by the full board. The board delegated the short-term variance request back to staff, complete with suggestions to help offer some respite on the weekend to the public. Number two, there were no complaints from the public on these two projects since the noise office and the noise review board started placing a tighter watch on work in the Pearl. In particular, to check our progress, the noise office called concerned citizens in the Pearl, reaching out to 25 citizens whose phone numbers we had, who've been vocal recently on area construction. Most of their initial interest in construction in the Pearl had been pile drivers, but we still reached out to them. Eight were reached live, and only one had trepidation in general about construction noise in the Pearl. 12 received voicemails to call back to discuss construction noise and also to notify them of our work on the pile driver effort that's continuing tonight with the Noise Review Board. None called back. 5 additional callers either had their numbers disconnected, had no voicemail, or we had a wrong number. No one had general concerns about early morning work to share, and no one commented on the 2 variances being appealed today. We did call and leave a voicemail for Mr. Venadia, and we also called his partner, Gwen Seemel, who I talked with personally. The third issue, the Police Bureau's effort through Assistant Chief Day to look at noise calls more closely as requested by council, has not documented a pattern of community complaints to dispatch on the noise projects happening on the construction projects happening in the Pearl, and has not resulted in calls for service or documented special reports for construction noise for the noise office to examine more closely. Notification number 4, notification has been extensive on these 2 variances, in particular with the project on Anderson. They actually delivered just under 1,000 notices to neighboring residential towers, supplying those to the building managers. An additional notice after we approved the variance was given to the building managers, in this case not 1,000 notices, but individual notices to post in each building with the variance conditions and the variance approval. And number 5, the Noise Review Board has respectfully modified its planned code changes in 2014 and 2015, in which they were looking to address garbage truck noise, and has switched gears to focus on preparing the set of recommendations for council on pile driver noise in the Pearl. And in that effort, they have a meeting tonight to help finalize those recommendations, but that will not only include the pile driver recommendations. There are a few policy changes and code improvements that should offer some respite to folks in the Pearl regarding construction noise in the Pearl. So although the project's primarily focused on pile driving, they'll be recommending changing EX zoning in the noise code to a commercial classification, which is planned to happen as part of the comp plan mixed use zones process within the next few years anyway. And they are also looking at a defined concept within their policies and procedures for a noise impact zone, that when we have challenges where there's an aggregation of projects, and in this case it wouldn't only be construction, it might also be concerts or other things, that the board would be responsive and limit issuing noise variances as openly as they might in an area that doesn't have that particular impact. And those are our main points for the appeal.
Okay, great. Questions for Paul? All right, then let's proceed on in the process. Mr. Venadia, come on up. Unless, Ben, do you have any other guidance for us before we get further into this process?
I would just remind the council that the appeal is in the nature of a quasi-judicial proceeding,
right,
where you're determining a request for a variance from a particular applicant, and the determination of the noise board, and then the appeal of Mr. Venadia. And if there's a proposal to, which seems to be on the table from Mr. Venadia, to adopt a restriction that is outside the bounds of this particular application, that would be in the nature of a legislative determination, which would not be proper in this particular proceeding, just
okay,
as a bit of guidance in this particular setting.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Put your name in the record, David.
My name is David Venadia, Pearl District resident, and we were coming here today hoping that you would help us. On February 19th, you appointed a noise board task force. And that noise board task force, together with us and the city, had come up with a recommendation, which was given to Chad, your assistant, or someone who works in your office. As a result of poor planning, people in the Pearl District are being exposed to excessive noise and contaminants and damage to our livability. With regard to this particular appeal, which at this point, if you can't make a decision that actually could help us, might be moot for us to really discuss, but we have yet to determine if the noise in question in the Pearl District is subjective as it has been told to us by the noise board. This is all subjective. Proper DBA measurements have not been taken in our area, despite our repeated requests over a span of months. We've requested for them to come, the noise office to come and do proper testing. They have not done that. Only one member of the noise board was present at the January 14th noise board meeting, and so there was no quorum and no vote happened when David Sweet recommended the granting of the variances for an additional 9 days of out-of-the-ordinary early morning and late evening construction activity. That was to happen over the following 30 days, even after he heard in person an ongoing opposing testimony from three neighborhood residents there that night and ongoing in-person and written testimony from over the previous few months of people who had complained about the noise. It's kind of disheartening to hear that Paul can come here and say that there are no complaints received, because we know we've sent them. I've had people CC us on emails that they've sent into the noise office, and those things just disappear into the ether, and it's very frustrating. We've only really begun to experience the disruptive early morning and late night activity in our neighborhood. The Cash and Carry is closed today, as a matter of fact. Madera Pearl will soon be built in that spot. And citizens really have no idea what kind of a situation we're going to be getting into. We don't know what the timeline is. We can't get information. You can't get information from the construction companies, from the developers, or from the city. Nobody knows, and everyone refers you to someone else. It's sort of hot potato politics. Anderson Construction had scheduled 3 5 a.m. concrete pours the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday mornings on the week of the hearing date, and none of those events happened. So when they talk about notification, yeah, we got a letter, and we always get a letter right before there's a hearing like this. In fact, notification works very well when we had a city council meeting like we're having now. And during that time, what that shows me is that when the noise office works with the construction companies to enforce the ordinance, then companies can comply and we can actually be notified. But the rest of the time, like probably the rest of this week and the rest of this month, notification just goes right out the window because there's no more oversight. Thomas Questenberry is here from Anderson Construction. He stated on the Wednesday night meeting that the pour was scheduled for the following morning at Block 17. That never happened. So it's very hard for citizens to plan. And we realize that it's hard for construction companies to plan as well. And they've expressed to us that they need a window and that there are many conditions that affect their construction pours or their construction activity in general. And we get that. And that's why we have worked with your task force to come up with a solution that would potentially solve a lot of problems. And we wrote a long letter to you that you have in your packets, I believe, that shows that having a, as Paul mentioned, like a noise impact zone with specific criteria and specific ways to deal with that zone would really help both citizens, businesses, companies that are doing construction in the area, because there are clearly defined roles for everyone, and this would really help eliminate problems with notification. The concrete trucks that Anderson were using to do the pours were starting with their alarms. They have these kind of alarms that kick off when they lower the back portion of the concrete truck, which they would start doing two blocks away underneath our window, and then as they pass the Parker building and then around the corner, finally over to where Block 17 is. And finally, Anderson has claimed that they've been monitoring their noise levels, but they refuse to share their findings because they claim everything they do is under legal noise limits. And so what we find as citizens when we ask questions and when we come before a group of people like today, which is really exciting for us because we really hope that something can be done, we get a lot of kickback and we get a lot of sleight of hand and we get a lot of put you off to that department, go talk to this person. And it's very difficult to be a citizen living in that neighborhood right now. And so, again, this poor planning has a couple buildings, ours in particular, has about 150 children living in it, and we're currently surrounded by construction and surrounded by contaminants, and we can't get any answers. Nobody will talk to us, and it's been difficult. Garbage noise is being looked at. We've only heard about this recently. And garbage noise was looked at in 2003 when the entire city was looked at for noise. And there was a $12,000 investigation into garbage noise that said that nothing could be done about it. And so I'm surprised to hear that our problems, which are current and happening right now, are pushing garbage noise out of the way. And the changes that are proposed for the upcoming tonight's meeting, the changes that are proposed for Title 18, the one that Paul mentioned in particular with moving the EX zoning into commercial, doesn't actually affect us. It won't do anything for us in the Pearl because the residents are also still in EX zoning, and so the decibel levels actually remain exactly the same. So it looks like something's being done, and it sounds nice when you talk about it, but in reality, it won't protect us at all in any better fashion.
I'm Gwen Simel, and I wanted to address just one point that Paul made, that there were no complaints for this particular project, Block 17. And while that may be true for sound, I don't know if that was true. I was in contact with the DEQ about the huge piles of contaminated soil that they had left out uncovered for 5 months until I started talking to them. I emailed Amanda about this when I started to try and get in touch with someone. So I was trying to sort of bring, you know, different government parties together. So even if this company is maybe not doing something wrong with regards to noise, which I'm not sure that I'm convinced of, you know, they have other things that they're not complying with. Like the DEQ did send them a warning about it. I had to poke the DEQ again to get that soil removed. It is soil that is known to have an unacceptable risk of cancer associated with it, and it was left out uncovered during our very dry and, you know, warm last couple of months when we had our windows open. We have a preschool in our building that uses the playground that is coated in this stuff. The kids come in with their hands covered in black dust that we know is contaminated, and we can't get answers about it. No one will come and test the dust. Do you have any idea? No. Anyway, the point is that Block 17 may or may not have had complaints about noise, but they had complaints about other things that they were doing wrong, and there is very little enforcement going on and oversight going on for these projects, and it's damaging livability. It has destroyed livability in our neighborhood.
And two months ago, you put together a task force, and that task force recommended that we come to City Council, and also Chad encouraged us to come before City Council and ask you directly for help. And we were in that letter outlined this idea of having a noise impact zone that would then offset the weekends so that we could have a livable weekend in the neighborhood or in neighborhoods around Portland. And so the noise task force, which was Mary Helen, who is not able to be a noise task force anymore, had recommended a 90-day trial. And we feel that that's a really valid form of research that we hope could be instituted.
So I really appreciate all your work and your concerns. This appeal is about the variance. So could you just tell me what about the variance are you appealing? What are you not in agreement with on the variance?
Well, as in the letter that I wrote, I said that at this point the construction activity has already been carried out, and so really having this city council meeting, if we were going to try to retroactively enact the stipulations that I had originally requested, was a waste of time for everybody. And so since we're here now, all of us are here, maybe we can discuss some form of, I guess we can't though.
No, so that's a legislative process. There's a way that it goes through the North Board and they bring recommendations to us.
Yeah.
We have to rule on the appeal.
Okay, so, Amanda, I understand that, but it does feel like one more delaying tactic. As citizens who have been asking for months for help, it feels like one more delaying tactic. I get that you have your rules, but I just want you to know how it appears to us.
And I've also, I asked for a change in the appeal, so with regard to how to deal with this situation. But I guess I don't know what else to say.
Okay. All right. Questions? Thank you both. Appreciate it. We'll see if is there anyone to speak in opposition to the appeal?
Do you want to come now? Okay. So we have Joel Anderson and Tiffany Schweitzer.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I happened to go to lunch with this guy today. I didn't know he was coming here, so.
Short desk here.
Sorry.
So after listening to a couple of our residents. I thought I'd speak as well, but
okay.
Joel,
put your name in the record, though.
Can I go last? I'll let
sure.
Joel
go ahead,
first.
Joel.
Thank you.
Joel Anderson with Anderson Construction Company. I do want to say first and foremost that I'm very sympathetic and apologize to Mr. Vanetta and his partner, because I grew up in the city. I've lived here my whole life. I've been around construction. I know that it does make noise and cause dust and debris, and it is the unfortunate price of progress. I lived at the Portland Towers. My window looked out at the Civic Stadium at the time, when in the late 90s the Multnomah Athletic Club started an expansion to their campus, and I woke up every morning to the pile driver. And today I use that facility with my children, and it was an unfortunate price to pay, you know, to a 18-year-old, but, you know, it was part of what happens. And it doesn't make it easy. Construction is, by its very nature, a risky endeavor. And our concern that we have for the citizens, you know, I'll tell you, I don't mind speaking here and dealing with the complaints, because 15 years ago, the Pearl District was a nothing. And today that we have such great citizens that want to live there and are concerned about what's happening is really a tremendous sign of progress that our cities had. That has all come at the same way. We've pile driven in every site down there. We've dug holes. We've moved the contaminated soils. We've done it all in the process, and at the price of this progress. And our main concern has always been safety. Our core values at our company dictate that we do it safely. And that's not just to our workers, but also to the greater audience that we deal with in the community and the public that surrounds us. Our core value also says that we take responsibility. So if we've done something wrong and erred, we have no problem taking ownership of that. But as it stands, and my understanding of the issues here, is that it's not convenient, but that we haven't violated anything in the process. That when we do have trucks come early, right, we have long pour days. So we have them come earlier in the morning, because we can only pour, we can only get so much mud down, concrete down, in a certain period of time. We can start it early or we can start it late. The earlier we start it, the lower impact that it has on the traffic to the community. That's why we start early. The price of that, though, unfortunately, is that it creates a noise issue to the surrounding residents. And there's not much that can be done about that. As far as the tower cranes, erection and dismantling, the big concern that we have there is public safety. If any of you have ever watched a tower crane being erected or dismantled, it is hands down the most risky endeavor in all of the construction process. And to propose to not do that on the weekend, the reason we do it on Sunday in specifics is because it's the lowest overall impact to a given area, primarily for traffic reasons, because we're trying to avoid a global impact or a local impact to all of the vehicular traffic, but also realizing, and that Pearl in particular has a high population of pedestrian and foot traffic around, and certainly everybody likes to stop and see the tower cranes being erected. But doing it on a weekend is in more of a controlled environment than having to do it on during the week. It's not just because it saves us from a work day, right? Nope. I'm the employer. The last thing I want is for my employees to have to work on a Saturday and Sunday. It makes me feel really bad that they have to do that, and I've done that in my career as well. But it's also it's a necessity to ensure that the public safety is met throughout the process. And that's really what's at the core of this, is that it is not always going to be convenient for construction, period. It won't be. But convenience is superseded by safety, and that's what these issues are really driven around, that it is there are things, could we do better as an industry? For sure. Are we doing the best that we can? I really think we are. We have a great team of people on all of our projects. We have a large contingent of projects that happen to be touching each other, and there's another project that's being built kind of kitty-corner from one of our sites. And it's a big conflux right down there right now. And then the cash and carry site's about to go too. That's going to put a big impact on the community. And in 2 years, that'll all be behind. And maybe there'll be more projects, hopefully, that we'll be building. But if not, the community will be back to, you know, living, and there'll be all the more residents down there. But for the time being, you know, we're left with very few options. But our primary focus is on safety. And we can't and will not compromise on that issue, particularly as it relates to the public and our own workers.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I just jotted down some notes.
Your name
as
in the
I,
record,
oh,
Tiffany.
Sorry, Mayor. Tiffany Schweitzer, Hoyt Street Properties. Commissioner Fritz, you mentioned that we're talking just about this appeal today, and I realize that, so I'm going to try and stay on point. A couple of things I heard, though, and I want to give some history. This is actually my 14th building in the Pearl District, and we have built Hoyt Street Properties, every building, by pile. And yes, it has been noisy, and it's been disruptive and dusty, and we've had environmental issues. And our homeowners, residents, people living in the area, which is quite a mix of all groups, luckily have moved there and helped create one of the most successful neighborhoods that we have in the country. I'm so happy we're building again. You know, anybody moving into the neighborhood, particularly some of the residents that you just heard from, could look out and see that there are 8 or 9 vacant blocks and maybe think that there might be some construction coming someday. We've had the last 7 years of not having anything going on, unfortunately, and to have Anderson as our builder on 2 of our projects right next door, yes, it is disruptive, but we will get through it, and the sooner the 30 to 40 days it takes of pile driving and noise and disruption, we're done with it, of the 2 years of building. As far as notification, I have to speak to that because I think particularly Hoyt Street Properties probably notifies more people than they even have to, given that from Hoyt to hopefully the Fremont Bridge someday, most of those buildings are ours. We notify every building. It either goes up in the elevator or it goes down by the trash room, some notification to say there's a project coming, what's going to be happening. We have the same property management company for all of our buildings, so there's one voice speaking for all of the buildings. Each site is posted. On top of that, we have a Hoyt Yards Community Association, which is a separate neighborhood association that every homeowner living in Hoyt belongs to and contributes to financially. That group, of which I am a part of, meets annually, but they also can meet monthly to talk about these issues. Every building can belong to it, including whether you're a rental, an affordable building, or a for sale building. So to say there hasn't been proper communication, there has been, and there always has been, and there will continue to be. Anderson has gone above and beyond that. They have a website. They have somebody you can call into to complain. In fact, it got so bad that from about 10 people that we chose not to do that on our current project that Anderson is also building. As far as, I just want to touch on this because it is important. As far as contamination, we have a record of decision that was put in place almost 20 years ago with Burlington Northern and DEQ. We have to follow the rules of that record of decision. We have to follow that with DEQ, and they sign off on every project that we build. The dirt that was described today, yes. Because we did not do pile driving on our most recent project, we did auger drilling, which is something we tried. It cost us $430,000 more. And 40 days we lost off the schedule, but we wanted to try it, not because of noise, because we were told that would be an alternative method. We had to pile dirt, let it dry out, which was all approved by DEQ. And yes, there were times where it was not covered. We had a few windstorms and it got uncovered and then we recovered it. Once we were able to transport it and truck it out, we did that. There is no longer any dirt there because DEQ doesn't allow us to keep the dirt there. So, you know, I just wanted to be clear on some of the things that you heard today. The development community is just now getting involved in this because there hasn't been proper notification. That's fine. I've now notified a whole host of people to say this is an issue that I'd like you to speak on, starting tonight at the last of the Noise Committee. And then, unfortunately, it's coming to you to make an ultimate decision on Saturdays and reduced hours and a whole host of other things that you will hear us all speak on. So I hope you will listen. I hope you all understand that this is progress. It's for a short period of time. We don't want to extend the time. We want to get the construction over with as much as anybody else. So I'm just hot talking to you guys today, but I appreciate you listening, and thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else want to speak in opposition to the appeal? Okay, Mr. Benet, do you want a rebuttal? Come on up.
It's interesting. In the past year, I've been really closely involved with all this, and so to hear one of the main people from Anderson saying that the reasons why they do the things they do. The person on the street from Anderson tells me that they do the pours in the morning so that they can have time to do them. And so it's about them. He's talking about really being concerned with safety, and yet if a crane jump is the most dangerous thing, why would you want to do that on a weekend in the Pearl District when people are there to shop and go into the parks and be on the street that they would actually stop and take a look? And what's more is block the streets off then so that people aren't in danger. What's more is, you know, we had another appeal where Anderson Construction, a representative from Anderson, said, we don't want to work on Sundays. I don't want to work on Sundays. I'm not going to work on Sundays. We just had that as a reserve. And so they had got a variance with a reserve for Sundays in case they possibly needed it. And so they gave up Sundays. So they don't have any problems with giving up Sundays because they never planned to use them. This whole idea of it's just temporary, it's just 2 years, and that's all behind you. Well, I've been living in the Pearl for years, and it started with the streetcar construction in 2010. We moved over to the Ramona Apartments from where we were to actually escape some of the construction. And yeah, we knew that eventually it would catch up to us. And we're not against progress by any means. We're thrilled with the way the city is developing and growing. There's a lot of exciting things happening. What we are and have always been working towards and trying to work with the city about is unlawful construction work. That is construction work that happens outside of outside of ordinance hours. And so if Anderson's primary concern is safety, I have to say then why would people plan to put two family-centric houses in the center of brownfields? If their primary concern is safety, why would they leave contaminated dirt upwind, uncovered, from a playground where children play every single day? The record of decision also says that the entire brownfields of Hoyt Street properties should be capped by now. The anticipated idea of how the Pearl would be in 2015 was that it would be done. And we realized that there was a lag in time when people didn't have enough money and there wasn't nothing was happening. And so there was a time in there where the development didn't happen. But that doesn't mean that because of finances that children should be put at risk. And that's what's happening right now.
I just wanted to add, it's Gwen Seymour. These two lovely people who came up to share with you, I don't think they're acknowledging that this is 8 sites. Some of them are staging sites and parking sites, but it's 8 sites that are active right now, 6 of them in brownfields. There's a difference between one site maybe being a little lax and following the rules and 8 sites doing that sort of thing. That has a whole other level, and again, that's what we're trying to say. We're not against construction. We just want it done in a livable manner, and when there are 8 active construction sites, you gotta work to make that happen.
And when citizens express themselves or give feedback to construction companies, the city has set it up that this is a complaint-driven system. So for us to come forward means we're complainers, and that just puts us into a negative light immediately. It's a very difficult place to be in. And to bring information, which is feedback, to developers and construction companies and city planners would actually, even if you called it something different, information, we're informing you that things are either working or not working. And where they're not working, let's make improvements. And the two-year thing, you know, we had the Parker went up, and that took a little bit over 2 years of people working 7 days a week. And now we have cash and carry going up right next door. And that's going to take maybe a little over 2 years of people maybe perhaps working 7 days a week. So now we're talking about a four-year project. And yeah, we do have more areas near us that are not developed and are brownfields and are just dirt and dust that are being kicked up. So are we safe living there? Nobody can answer that question.
It's not just going to be for 2 years. It's going to be longer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, any further questions or discussions from council? Is there a motion?
Well, this is a noise variance appeal, and I think there's now in the record that the issue is moot. So,
we'll have to dispose of the appeal, though, don't we?
So is the motion to deny the appeal? So I move to deny the appeal.
Okay. Okay, further discussion? So roll call on that decision, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
There's a process in play in moving forward with looking at the rules and the excuse me, are the rules the right rules? Or should they be changed? Should the processes be changed? That, I understand, is underway at the Noise Review Board. So that's the opportunity, and in your appeal, you talk about an opportunity for citizens to come in and figure things out. That's the process to do that. So if you then disagree with the recommendation of the Noise Board, that's the time to come back when the regularly scheduled hearing is made with others to discuss what you'd like us to do differently. But the quasi-judicial process of appealing variances must, by law, focus on what's the matter with the variance. Now, when I'm looking at the variance, I can see your point that 6 a.m. does seem unreasonable for active, noisy construction, and that's something that I hope that the Noise Review Board is considering. I think it's reasonable for them to look at restricting the operation of pile drivers to 8 to 5 on Monday through Friday. Not quite sure why Monday morning is different from any other morning other than it's Monday morning, but, you know, those are things that this legislative process is going to deal with and can be looking at your livable weekends concept. I do urge the Noise Review Board to be careful about expanding the noise rules on EX zoned to make them like commercial zones. EX in the Pearl is very different from EX in the Central East Side. And we don't know yet what the Planning Commission, the Planning Bureau, and the Planning Sustainability Commission is going to bring forward in terms of these new mixed-use zones. Let's not inadvertently mess things up in the Central East Side as we're trying to fix some of these problems in the Pearl and in some of the more residential areas. In fact, the EX zone itself, I think, has some particular challenges that I'm not sure are being adequately noodled through in the review process because I haven't heard what that proposal is yet. So definitely you're raising some great concerns. This isn't the venue to do it, though. The appeal of a noise variance is specifically what's the matter with that variance in terms of it. Why should it not have been approved? And I think that the way it's written out with four variances over a course of several months is not unreasonable if the details had been better. But since it's now the pours have been done, the noise is done, it's moot, and that's why I'm supporting denying the appeal. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, I may misunderstand this, but in terms of the work that's going to be done tonight on potential changes in the regulations, the classification of the zone, which is, it is zoned to EX, but right now EX is classified as industrial, right? And so classing it as commercial means that residents will get a more deferential approach to noise than they do now.
That's the problem in the Pearl. I mean, in the Central East Side.
Right.
Because
right.
It really is industrial. Right. EX is industrial in Central
right.
East Side.
So we may, you're right, we may have to figure that out. But for the short term in the Pearl, life will be better if it's classified as commercial instead of industrial. I think, maybe I've got that wrong, but that is the legislative issue, and we'll discuss that in the legislative process. I agree with your comments completely that, you know, this process has to be did the rules that we had in place, were they properly applied and followed? and I believe that they were and that there's no basis for an appeal in this case. Doesn't mean that there's not a basis for a conversation about what the rules should be, but that has to be in that legislative arena, which, again, is taking place in 3 hours. So I vote in favor of the motion to deny the appeal. Okay, so that